Welcome back to the Bonfire Podcast, where we talk about the UFC and mixed martial arts with those closest to the fight game. I am your host, longtime MMA journalist and MMA junkie, senior reporter Mike Bond. Hope everyone out there is doing well and had a great weekend. UFC Vegas 104 at the UFC Apex was the precipice of our focus in terms of mixed martial arts action over the weekend, a card that was very much under the radar because of the lack of strength, ranked fighters, etc., etc. It does produce 9 finishes. Definitely went above standards in that regard. One fight that did not end in a finish was the main event, where Roman Dolidze avenges his March 2023 loss to Marvin Vettori by unanimous decision. That was probably one of the dollar fights on the card, but definitely a lot of finishes on the undercard. And I think one of the most notable storylines to come out of UFC Vegas 104 was the landmark achievement of Coach Saif Saud and Fortis MMA reaching 100 UFC victories on the back of Sam Hughes' split decision victory on the prelims against Stephanie Lucindo, a very hard-fought win for her. And we saw it on the broadcast in Hughes' post-fight interview, all directing the attention on Fortis MMA and Saif Saud for hitting this 100 UFC wins benchmark. Not an easy thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. And look who we'll have on the show today to talk about it all. It will be the general himself, Coach Saif Saud of Fortis MMA. We are going to have a little celebration of 100 wins, talk about the high moments, the greatest victories in his mind during that stretch, what went wrong for Ryan Spann on Saturday in his heavyweight debut, and then some big upcoming fights for this team as they look to push the bar even higher beyond 100. We got Brandon Moreno, the former flyweight champion in the UFC Mexico City main event on March 29th against Steve Ersig. Then 2 weeks after that, an absolute banger at welterweight, Jeff Neal returns against Carlos Prochez. That is going to be a hell of a fight down there in Miami. Saif will be here to talk about it all. We'll also preview UFC London a little bit. That goes down on Saturday at the O2. It is good stuff here with Coach Saif Saud, one of the greatest minds in the sport, and of course, one of the most decorated coaches now. So please sit back, enjoy. Please give it a like, a follow, a subscription, a comment, whatever you can do to keep showing support to the podcast. Honestly, the feedback from you guys on these episodes so far, 23 in the books now, have been nothing short of heartwarming. So please keep it coming. Let's keep pushing. Let's make this show as big as possible. I will take a quick break and be right back with Saif Saud. We are back here on the Bonfire. It is a celebration with Coach Saif Saud. 100 UFC wins, man. This happened this past weekend, UFC Vegas 104. Yeah. Sam Hughes is the one who does the deal, gets us to 100 victories, man. I know this has been a long time coming. Congratulations. Yeah. Just, how does it feel to hit the benchmark?
Man, it's crazy. I set that goal out, Mike, so long ago, because I was like, that's going to be so hard to attain. I was like, I will have to work so hard to do that. It was almost not an unreasonable goal, but just a hard goal. And last night I was smoking a cigar. I had a stogie out there at the ranch, and I was like, man, I can't believe that number is actually 3 digits now. And you know, every win in the UFC is so hard, and even harder now, right, in 2025. So it really is. I'm incredibly grateful and thankful to everybody on that list, man. And like, you know, Diego Ferreira just moved here. He's our full-time jiu-jitsu instructor. I'm really excited to announce that at Fortis. Huge news for us. But he gave me a big hug, and I was like, bro, you got like 9 of those. You're like 10% of that list. So yeah. It just makes me look back, and it's just really, really incredible, man.
Yeah, it was so awesome. Obviously, Sam gets the split decision win, and they were like making a big deal of it on the broadcast and stuff too. You probably obviously were walking to the cage, so couldn't hear. Were you like mindful that they were going to kind of make a thing of it whenever that number did hit on the UFC broadcast?
It was, it's cool, man. I've worked with some of those guys, and I have nothing but love and respect for everybody there, and everybody was so cool about it. Like, tonight's the night. Like, everybody kind of knew about it, and it kind of surprised me, honestly, because there's so many fights, there's so much crap going on, you know. But you know, Heidi, like everybody who plays a role that people don't see was like, tonight's the night, hon. Tonight's the night, you're gonna do it. And after Sam won, you know, I drink Diet Coke, I don't drink alcohol, they were like, here's your winning diet 100 winning Diet Coke. like PR. Everybody handled it really pretty awesome and gave me a lot of love. Bisping gave me a lot of love and the commentary gave me a lot of love. So just a really cool moment, man. And something I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah, now Sam gave you a lot of love too. It was the first thing that came
Yeah.
out of her mouth. Were you white knuckling it a little bit on that split decision, or like, did it was a close fight? Did you feel that she executed well enough to get the deserved win there?
Yeah, I mean the second round, was a real dominant, was it a 10-8 round, she was beating her up bad, lumped her up, but that girl was so tough and resilient, came back out in the third, was really impressed with her too. It was a really razor close fight, but was so proud of Sam's, the way she finished, her effort, the way she turned the gas on. I mean, just Sam is really, she's been the underdog in every fight, and everyone thinks she's always going to lose. And then she goes out there and proves them wrong. I mean, even that Jacqueline girl that she beat's been whooping everybody. So the people she beat go on to be awesome. And this girl that she just beat is going to go on to be awesome. She was really impressing me with her angles and was really tough. So, man, like I said, every win is a huge win, Mike. And it's really great to get this kind of done early in the year. We had a win in January, we had a win in February, we had a win in March. I know we talked not long ago, so really cool to check it off the list, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Did you think round two was a 10-8? I mean, that was definitely one of the ones like on the borderline, but you never know which judge is sitting in that chair, how loosely they use the 10-8 criteria. But from your perspective, what did you think?
I thought it was really close because I mean, she almost finished her with that choke. That girl's just so tough. I mean, she had her flattened out, just gable grip. I mean, on her, and that girl hung in there, man. So that the elbows and now, who knows, but I knew it was a close fight. But yeah, Sam's just keeps on getting better and better, and I'm so proud of her. She came to us 0-3, and I think she's won five out of her last seven fights. Like I said, being the underdog in every fight, now having a good UFC career, going into another contract, hopefully, and like just makes me so proud, and the appreciation she had. She really touched my heart with what she said, and it just like God's timing's perfect. She was the perfect person to be 100 because everyone was saying, I'm gonna be 100, I'm gonna be 100. And I was like, who knows who's gonna be 100, right? But it was perfect. It was a perfect moment.
Yeah, it's hard. We kind of tried to lay it out when we spoke in December, but you never know. Like Macy loses her fight, things just get switched up on the schedule. You never know what bout order they're gonna put. So it's like hard to track who's actually gonna get that. But if you think back, I know it's like trying to pick between like your children and things like that. Do you have like a top three of those 100 wins that stand out? It doesn't need to be in order, but like what are the three that first come to mind? I assume the first one is one of them.
Sean Spencer was my very first UFC win against Yuri Villafort in Brazil. Henry Huff was in the other corner. And I think that was 2013 or 14. I'd have to look it up. I remember that fight. Another, amazing moment was I'll never forget Jeff Neal when he head kicked Mike Perry. Just because, there was so much hype with that fight, and Mike Perry was really durable, and I hadn't been finished. He was so tough, and I thought that was going to be a real brawl, And Jeff had beaten Bilal, and he had kind of a lot of momentum, but I mean, the way he just snipered Mike Perry, and I remember him just lasering in, like following him across the cage, and then he just finished him, and it was like in 90 seconds, and we were in the Escalade on the way back, and I mean, he wasn't even sweating, like not even a little, like nothing. And he was like, yeah, I don't even think he really touched me. And I remember just looking at him and being like, no, he didn't touch you, man. And just being really proud of Jeff. And then lastly, I would say, that one, Brandon's winning us winning the undisputed fourth fight against Figgy. We got thrown together and camp, wasn't going good. And we really, me and him really pushed with all the other coaches and got him over the goal line, and he dominated that fight and kind of closed that out as his history for the flyweight division and be a two-time champion. So, I mean, winning the belt is always going to be a big one too. So there's so many other ones, so many fights I can remember. And every one of those wins, I'd say, man, not even winning the undisputed title, none of them are bigger than the other one because each fighter has to overcome that night, whether it was easy and smooth like Jeff's was, or whether it was a freaking war, Like Sam's last fight. I mean, every one of them is one number on there. And I do think, and I've been asked this before, like, what are you going to do when you're done this and that? But I'm going to write a book about it, and it's each one of them will be a chapter. And it's really easy because it's like 10% each one of them. Some of these, like Diego and Macy and Jeff and Kennedy Alonzo, and coming back was a huge one. Alonzo came back and got that big win, got fight of the night, last month, and in a really hard fought battle. So that 99 win was big just because, he had been gone for a while and he came back and we reunited and it was cool. So there's just so many storylines. And I don't think a lot of people would buy the book because MMA, in our head, it's like a big deal and it's getting bigger, but really it's like this big of a deal. But the book would be for the guys and the girls, and just so we could remember all the stories, and just kind of so I need to start jotting some of that stuff down. I've written some of it out, but I need to get on that.
Good. Yeah. So the sport moves so fast. It's like hard. You got to take the notes to remember things. Like, I
Yeah,
always
you
thought that in the
forget.
back of my mind. Do you have like a working title for what that book would be?
I don't know. I mean, I hate it when coaches are like, I'm gonna write a book, I'm gonna this, I'm gonna that. It's like, dude, shut up. No one cares. But the reason why I want to do it is so I can remember everything. And I honestly would just give it to all of them. Whether it got published or not, I don't even really care. But so we could all look at it and remember. And that's God bless IG, because man, guys don't take
Seriously.
pictures. Like I would not remember all this. And it was the guys, Fernie Garcia, who had written everybody out, all the names, and had it at when it was at like 85. And he was like, man, coach, always, such a sweet kid. He's like, man, this is amazing. And so he had it all written out, and I told him it's going to be hard to get to 100. And that was probably a year and a half ago or something. And he's like, no, coach, it's going to be easy. I said, no, it isn't. No fights are easy in the UFC. I mean, winning double-digit fights, which we've been able to do multiple years, it's so hard. I think we've done it 5 times, maybe 5 years, 6 years out of the gym's existence. It is so hard than to win 20 fights. We've done that a few times too, winning 20 fights in a year, because just one win is hard. So obviously, if you're getting 20 wins in a year, 18 wins, 19 wins in a year in the UFC is really something to be proud of.
Yeah, the consistency is key. And if you
Yeah.
need a ghostwriter for that book, I mean, I know a guy, but we'll see what happens when that comes. But yeah, I mean, of course, like once this happens, right? What's the immediate goal afterward? It's, oh, you start thinking about how do we get to 200 probably and like things like
Yeah,
that. And...
I mean, we'll touch on it. I had two goals. My first goal was to get to 100 wins, because I thought that's Don Shula-esque, right? Like, you can't get denied. I mean, that's a lot of wins. But second was to win an undisputed title, which that wasn't easy at all, and that will be very hard to do again. And that's what we're always trying to do, is win titles. I think we've got some people that are close. I think Macy's close. I think Brandon's right there still. But we did our last interview and I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. And remember, you were like, do you really want to get into that? I was like, well, I'm just all the young guys at the gym came up to me and were like, hey, coach, man, are you going to retire? And I was like, huh? They're like, you said you were going to retire. I was like, no, they said mulling retire. I don't know what the headline was, right? And I was like, God, I should have listened to Mike. I should have just fucking never said anything about it. And I told him, I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to retire. But I do say that because I don't want these old fucking heads on the team just getting lazy and complacent. And it's true. We don't know when, but the young guys, this is for all the young guys on the team. They know who they are. So talented. They all were like, hey, coach, like, what's up? And this last few months since we did that interview, I've been spending a ton of time with the younger guys on the team. And man, I got to tell you, dude, the young talent, it's just like they're just a couple levels ahead now. And don't let this go to your head, you little shits, because the truth is, fight wise, skill wise, I mean, it's that Peyton Talbot, type of, like, they really have all these different skills. But mentally, which he found that out too, you can't beat some of these vets still. They've got the dog in them, and they're going to dog walk you, and you're going to learn that it's not really all about skill. It's about will and skill, right? And whoever can really, impose both of those, and who can impose, their skill longer, because cardio obviously comes into play as well. But the young guys, they don't have that will. Like, they got the skill, but they don't have the will, and they think they do too, but they get found out sometimes by these older vets. So it's a real interesting time in the gym. because the young guys, I mean, they're having some success against some of these older guys that have been ranked for years. You know, we've had eight, I'm really proud of that. I think eight, maybe nine now, ranked fighters in the UFC. I mean, out of, 100 wins, to have a 10% of that whole roster be ranked in the top 15 for so many years is really hard to do, because you're fighting the very best of the best. And so for these young guys to be hanging with those guys that have been ranked for a long time, and they're only 2-0 and 3-0, man, it really bodes well for the future of the gym and just MMA. Just the skill level just keeps increasing, man. So young guys, young girls, you got me around for a couple more years. We'll see where we go. We'll see how you do.
So it reinvigorated you a little bit. You seeing these young guys thrive, I kind of want to see how things play out with
No,
them.
that a little bit, but it was just them coming up to me. I mean, because they've been there for the at the gym for 4 or 5 years. I mean, these young guys have put their time in. You know, there's, 15, 20 tough. There's a whole team that was an amateur team coming up. Then they're tough. And obviously that, we had so many UFC fighters that keep going and going. And so these guys never really got the shine, but we had a Fury card, and I think I had five of them on there. And I mean, they just whooped everybody's ass. And I was so proud of them. And they just looked good. And I told them, I said, all right, let's see what you guys can do. And but it was funny. It all started with that article, though, that headline. So you better make this one.
Of
Make this
course.
one, make this one good.
Speaking of kind of that next generation, I think the one everyone's kind of looking at hard right now is Jacoby Smith. He had a great debut. Is he looking to get back soon? Are we gonna see him back in there soon, you think?
Man, that kid is just dynamite. And he's just one of those kids that, he's not playing games in there. You know, there's no feeling out process for Jacoby. I mean, he wants to go in there and get it done. And I love his killer instinct. And yeah, man, he's ready. He's been staying in shape. He's got a couple kids. He's really, really a great dad. Spends a lot of time with his family. I admire and love that when I see that as somebody. And he's down. We're just waiting on the call. And again, man, you don't want to start talking crap and, calling people out. And I mean,
No, of
dude, you
course.
just got to shut your mouth and get some wins. But he reminds me a lot of Jeff. He's tenacious. And but again, I've had, Jeff went 5-0. Macy, I think, went 4-5-0. Alonzo went 4-5-0. Fan went 4-5-0. Kennedy. I mean, I've had so many fighters get on streaks. Diego was on a 6-fight streak, at one point. Like, you just got to shut your mouth until you can get all the way there, because I've only fought for the title twice and won it once. And I mean, all those fights, it's that hard when you build fighters, it's that hard, right? And Brandon had already been a champion, so it was a different situation. So what I'm telling you is, like, to build the momentum to be a champion now in the UFC is going to be incredibly tough. And at welterweight, you're talking about an 8 to 10 fight, at least road. So you just want to kind of step by step. And I know these guys are smart about calling people out, but that's just not our MO.
I guess last thing on Saturday, I'm sure you wanted to leave there with 101 wins. Obviously didn't work out for Ryan Spann. I guess just your takeaways on his heavyweight debut. Do you like him staying there? Do you think was this just an experiment, or what do you kind of think?
It depends, I mean, I thought he could do well at heavyweight. I've taken Kennedy to heavyweight, and he's done really well. And I mean, these guys are getting older. And I think Ryan has all the tools, and he's a huge guy. But that was a tough fight. And I thought that I thought Ryan did some things well. I thought he could have overcame it. And but we got to give that Waldo credit, man. I mean, he was cracking. I mean, they were cracking each other. And Ryan cracked him with a big overhand right, and he kind of just stumbled. And I was like, I don't know about heavyweight. I mean, when I told Mike, Coach Mike, I said, I don't know about heavyweight. Ryan was 250. I mean, he's not fat either. He's a, 6'5½. So man, I don't know, because those guys at 205, they fall down, right? But the thing is too, though, Ryan, light heavyweights can continue to get harder too. And Ryan's had some up and downs there. So if he's gonna go for a title shot, heavyweight made sense in that realm, that he could get started similar to John, similar to how Kennedy has done it as well, going undefeated, and getting knockouts. And I think there's a lot of people Ryan could beat at heavyweight. It was just, that was a hard test, and we didn't pass it. And we got to make the adjustments and go from there. Ryan could definitely obviously be a light heavyweight. He's done very well there, but I think he has the frame to be a heavyweight too. But You got to make some adjustments there. You can't stand and bang with those boys, and you just can't. And we found that out, and I think Ryan said, I said, man, I think I underestimated it a little bit. And I said, well, that's that. When he loses, we lose. When one guy loses, we all lose. So we'll see what he wants to do. We'll see what Mick wants to do too in the UFC, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, makes sense. I know he said at Media Day that like this wasn't his final form as a heavyweight, so I didn't know if there
No.
was kind of still work to be done physique wise and
Yeah.
figuring out what tweaks would be done there. So yeah, it's the first step. We'll see what happens next. But yeah, I like what you said there as far as all parties kind of giving their take. So what, you're just at home for a bit and then you go off to Mexico City
I'm
when
going. I'm going to
you're
Mexico
ready.
City tomorrow. So I've been
Oh
going to
wow.
Mexico City. I've been going every week for rounds because Steve Urseg is a tough challenge, and this is kind of getting lost in the weeds here. This kid is, one of the toughest guys in the division. He lost to Pantoja. Okay, well, everybody's been losing to Pantoja. Nothing but respect to the champ. We got to give him his respect, and he got clipped by Kai Kara, who, that was a close fight. Kai Kara caught him in a beautiful switch stance with that overhand left. He had set it up twice before, so no one can say it was lucky. He literally set it up twice, and Ursek had made the right read, but he caught him. And to look at Ursek and, oh yeah, he's done. You read the comments, oh, he's nothing. I'm like, bro, he is. He's the new breed. He's great, great boxing, good jits, very, very high fight IQ, very, very smart, very tough, big, 5 round cardio. I mean, he's good. So we're down there training, man. We're, we brought Adrian Yanez in, who's got incredibly sharp boxing, great counters. He's been phenomenal to work with. What a great kid he is. I think that he's really going to have a bright future. And we brought some vets in too. Schnell down there. We've got a lot of people from the PI. We got a lot of tough guys because Schnell's got really good bottom jiu-jitsu, and Ursig has good bottom jiu-jitsu, and on and on and on and on. So you saw him trying to take down Pantoja, and whether it was smart or not, that's debatable, obviously, with what happened. But I'm just saying, like, that's not a guy that's not confident. So just because you didn't hit a home run that night and become the champion doesn't mean that he's not going to be easy to beat. So flying down there, doing the rounds, working hard, and then flying back, and then, I've been going to Vegas every week, or at first it was Seattle, then it was Vegas and Vegas again. So
No one in
it's
London, though, right?
no one in London. Alonzo was supposed to fight in London, but
Yeah,
we
they
took that
moved
short
it.
notice fight. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I guess the thing with Brandon for this fight, like no doubt he'll be prepared, the skills and everything. I guess the elephant in room for him is the Mexico City fights haven't exactly gone the way he wants them so far. Is that like a mental thing with him at all going into this fight? Something you guys address?
I mean, look, I've been with Brandon for one of those fights, and it was the Roy Val fight. And yeah, I mean, it was uncanny, right? He didn't even look like himself. And no, I think, man, Brandon's in a different space, man. Since that fight, we took the break, and I had told him, hey, I want, we got to take a break. And he listened, and he didn't want to. And then he said, I got to fight. And I said, no, we got to take a break. And then he listened again. And I was so happy that he listened twice like that. And coach, he's like, I got to fight, man. I'm like, no, not yet. And we waited and made sure he was where he needed to be physically, mentally. And then we did the Albazi fight again because it had gotten dropped 3 times, not from our side, So, and he was so ready for the Albazi fight because he had prepared for it and he had a break. And that was probably one of his best fights he's ever had. It was a masterpiece, Albazi. I mean, 5 rounds of him doing everything he wanted. He never got sloppy. I mean, it was really a nice performance. So I think that was the key for him. He's got the fire back, and I would never say something is mental for Brandon Moreno. I mean, it's a guy that's just overcome so much. But I'd say the altitude is a big deal. I'd say that, I mean, that's not a joke. And so, and I'm sure Ursa's already, he's already down there too. He's been down there for weeks, and he's a smart kid, so I'm sure he's going to be training too. He's got good cardio. So all those things come into play down there. But Brandon's attitude is, he's a two-time undisputed champion, looking to be a three-time, would be the first one ever. He told me, I got to win no matter what, so I got to climb this mountain, and I agree with that. So here we are, and it's 25 is obviously different for with our position, with where we're in, and just with Pantoja and with everything else. So we're just going to throw down and see where the chips land, man.
Yeah, I think it would be a great statement for him to kind of right the wrongs of Mexico City. I know it's just crazy. He said the altitude, the media they put him through
Oh,
down there. Like
yes.
he's just, I don't think some people,
No.
outside of Mexico comprehend the type of star he is there, right?
I mean, dude, I've got, Jeff and Span and had Uriah, and I've had some pretty, guys that are well known, and obviously, when I was training and at Jackson's and all the years of doing MMA, 20 freaking years. Brandon is something different, man. Like, people go nuts when they see him. I mean, even in Canada, I mean, we got mauled in Canada. I couldn't believe it. We got mauled. There was people running at us, and it was like a movie, and it was like a movie. And then I swear to God, it was at the weigh-ins. It was at the press conference before the weigh-ins. I don't even think it was the weigh-ins yet. Might have been No, it wasn't even ceremonials. And because this was Thursday, and I was like, man, this is crazy for a Thursday. And we had like a security team. UFC does great. There was only like three or four of them. There was like 300 or 400 people. And out of everybody, we're walking away. Here comes this little boy, like a movie. He had ran through the crowd. This little kid by himself holding this thing and a marker, right? And Brandon's the sweetest guy. Turns around. He's like, hey, man. And then here comes the mom. That's my son. That's my son coming out, And it's like, I mean, it's really. You can't just walk around, and it's really cool to see MMA have that effect for me, and to see that level of fame to such a good person that's so well deserving of it and has such a pure heart, I would say. It's really something, and yeah, it's not easy for him. So Mexico City is that time. That was Canada. Imagine Mexico.
Insane.
Insane.
Wow. Well, I guess a couple weeks after that, you're going to Miami for Jeff, who we've alluded to many times. Him and Carlos Procha is going to fight at UFC 314. We got a little preview at the press conference, a face off and stuff. I know, like after beating RDA, you guys kind of wanted to fight up. You want someone in that top six, rightfully so. Everyone wants to fight up, but when they came with this, what did you think? Obviously, Carlos, he's an interesting spot too, right? Like when
No, I get it.
Bilal fell out of the fight in December, they were talking about him fighting Shavkat. They were talking about him maybe fighting Bilal in
Here's the
Montreal. So they
problem.
clearly like him. So this is a good fight, I think so.
He reminds me of Jeff too. Again, a striker who's 4-5-0, who's smashing everybody. That's what they want to see. Problem is, we always have those fights. We fought Shavkat, life or death. Jeff came close, but he wasn't ready, and that's on us. We fought Ian Garry to a really weird fight, which was a very weird split decision. And the fight was just, I didn't think it was a good fight from either of them, right? But a lot of people said Jeff, maybe won the fight, and it was a very weird fight. And now we're fighting him. So every main prospect they put against Jeff, because they know Jeff's exciting. They know Jeff's going to make it exciting, right? And the UFC is in the business of making exciting fights. Well, the problem is all those boring ass dudes that are ahead of him, like, he doesn't get to fight any of them. And because they avoid him. And it's a problem. And I'm not going to name names of anybody. I would never disrespect athletes there. I don't disrespect any fighters. I would never talk about a fighter. But I mean, there's a reason why we keep getting stuck fighting all of the prospects coming up. There's a reason why, right? So people play games in the rankings a lot, and that's just not something we've ever done. We fight everybody. We take all the hard fights, win, lose, or draw, we take them. And because they're going to come anyway. And the company, they know that too, and they reward that as well. But and you got to win those fights. Jeff's got to win this fight. It's that simple. You got to take responsibility and take ownership as well. But it's just a hard spot to be in, right? Because, and I think the UFC has a lot of love for Jeff too. And I've spoken to Hunter and Sean at length about this. They don't want to risk a boring fight with somebody else, with Proctus, with Shavkat, with Ian, because you saw that they've all had boring fights after that. Hell, Shavkat and Ian was, you know what I mean? So Jeff's never in a boring fight. He's never in a boring fight. All of his fights are exciting, right? No matter what. But he's got to win. He's got to show up. This kid's very dangerous. He's very confident. He's really good. He's got a ton of Muay Thai fights. He's very confident on his feet, and he's extremely long. He's one of the longest guys in the division. He's even longer than Jeff. He's 77 and a half inch reach, I think almost 78 inch reach. And he knows how to use his length really, really well. He's very good at the distance management. So it's gonna be again, Jeff's never in a boring fight. So they know that, and we know that too. And we'll see what happens on April 12th.
I know that like what'll happen when they get in the cage, there'll be the collision, could end early, but when you look at someone like Carlos, who's got those cigarette lungs clearly, and it's like openly like that and doesn't go beyond the first round, or you're like,
No,
you got to at least look and see what that looks like in a
I have a different take on that.
okay, I'd love to hear.
I think he's a long, lanky body, and he doesn't get that tired, and that's why he smokes fucking cigarettes. Because he's just one of those guys, right? He's like, oh no, man, I don't get tired. He's a long guy. He's kind of a big guy, but he's not very big, right? He doesn't weigh a lot. So sometimes those tall, long guys, their cardio is good, right? It's just a different kind of cardio, a different kind of muscular endurance with muscle fibers and just the way that the explosiveness happens. But he still hits really hard. So that's like John, Jones. He doesn't get tired, right? Because he's so long. He's always kind of had a really good cardio. Izzy too. Certain guys have shown you they can fight five round, five round, five round, five round. Whereas a guy like Dricus, who's the man right now, but has looked really tired sometimes in earlier fights, you're like, man, he looks gassed out, right? Like, you're like, dude, he's not gonna make it. And now he's really kind of hitting his stride, but because he's a big guy. So wrestling hits everybody different, especially with those body types. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I like that take. And I'll say it so you don't have to. More fighters smoke cigarettes than people probably like to think. So it's not completely foreign, but maybe not many of them put it out there like Carlos Prochaz does. So there you go.
I mean, hey, we're not judging the guy. I'm
No,
not gonna.
definitely not. I'm just, it's part of the storyline. It's part of his character here. So, but it's always curious when it's such a cardio-based sport. I guess last thing on that, you kind of mentioned, the first win with Sean Spencer, like Henry Hooft was in the opposite corner. When you go into a fight like this and you see like you're taking on someone from a hot team, like the Fighting Nerds, and they're just winning and winning and winning, do you take that as like a personal challenge? Like, on top of obviously wanting the win, like you do every time, like, I want to show this team can be beaten as well.
I mean, I think if when I was on win number 8 or 10 or 14, I maybe was that way. But on after win number 100, I mean, I'm the old guy, So that coach, I don't know his name, but he's a very nice guy. Came up to me at the MMA Awards and gave me tons of respect. Oh, so nice to see you. And dude, I get happy when I see that because they don't have a big team, right? They only got four or five people. But they've got a couple real bangers on that team. They got Ruffy, they got Gene Silva, Kayo, I think is a really cool. I've always had a good interaction with that guy, a lot of class. Practice, I mean, we're not going to be buddy buddy right now, but we'll be cool later on, maybe. I have nothing to say about them. And it reminds me of Fortis. I mean, when we came on the scene, you guys gave us so much love and like this new team, fighters only. I mean, you heard about ATT, you heard about AKA, but now there's Fortis MMA. So when I see that, I just think about like that exciting feeling and like everybody, like getting behind your name and the brand and like it blowing up. And I don't know, it makes me happy for them. And I don't take it in any way like that. But sure, we want to smash them, of course. I mean, we want to smash them and we want to win the money. I mean, it's not complicated. And that's cool. They can have success against everybody else, but not against us, and that's fighting. And I think that at the UFC, you have a really cool kind of understanding between everybody and all the teams. And if somebody was to come in the UFC and try to act tough, coaches or like somebody, it would be so out of place. People would be like, what are you doing? Like, dude, what's wrong with you? Because it's the toughest people in the world. And, there's nothing to prove, man. And, as far as it really goes down, it's really between the athletes. And I think that we fall in trouble sometimes when coaches try to vicariously live through the athlete and, I'm my team and like this. It's like, chill out, dude. If you feel some type of way, put some gloves on, big boy, get in there. Like it's once you get in your 40s, man, you got to cut it. So, and I don't even know how old their coach is. He's pretty young. So, yeah, my whole thing is, I don't really look at it as team versus team. I look at it as, can Jeff double up his paychecks or triple his paycheck, or is it going to be protests, or who's going to steal that momentum on April 12th? That's all we're looking at.
Yeah, I appreciate that insight. The head coach's name is Pablo Suker Pira, just so you can
Yeah, no, respect
appreciate
to
the
those
nom.
dudes, and they're doing their thing, and then they're all excited when they're around each other, hey, we know that feeling. I mean, that was us in 2018, in 2019. Where the hell did we come from? Everyone's like, well, where did these people come from? Where's this whole team now in Texas? Like, where is this? And so, yeah, man, respect. And that's sports, dude. But I'll tell you, we're still here.
No, the
So, and
longevity proves it all. So,
that's the hard one. That's the hard one. We started the team in 2016, and to still be relevant here and winning, and that's where you've got to give respect to, AKA and ATT and the Jacksons even, so the gyms, and how long can they be relevant? It's not easy, man.
no, it's not. You mentioned Diego Ferreira coming for the full-time jiu-jitsu coach. I know he was driving, what, like 6, 7 hours to get there for every training. What
10,
led
10
him?
hours,
Jesus.
10.
Yeah, that's insane. What led to him, I guess, doing that? Is that like a post-career move or setting up for the close to
Well,
post-career? Or?
two things. One is he barely trained for Grant Dawson. And I told him, I said, man, you got to go against these guys up here, and he didn't have the level down there. I said, because Grant Dawson is incredible at what he does. And, I think he realized that. He's still got some gas in the tank. Don't forget what he did to Rebecca. I mean, that was the fight before. I mean, Diego is a monster. We just got to give Grant his flowers for how good of a job he did. So I think that, but his son is a really good wrestler, and he's 16 years old, and it really is a big move for him as well to get him wrestling here and get him with a great coach that we have here, Oliver Pierce, and kind of give his son a chance to maybe go D1. And also Diego just, I mean, he's going to build such a huge program here. I mean, the guy's number eight lightweight in the UFC. I mean, had an incredible run. I mean, him and his run, he was. And I still think he's got more left, but also he's so accomplished on the jiu-jitsu side. I mean, I remember he won the legacy title, and the next day flew and did worlds. Like in Texas, he's kind of legendary for his jiu-jitsu accolades and how many matches he won, super fights. And he would compete, he would win an MMA and then go jiu-jitsu like the very next day. I mean, that's like crazy. So he's one of those guys that transcends, oh, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. It's like, no, I'm just a badass dude. I mean, he can do it all. Gi, no gi, top 10 lightweight. I mean, the credentials on him are crazy. And I just want our members. The cool thing about our gym is, I mean, Macy teaches at our gym, right? You have Damon, right? You've got Steven Peterson. You've got all these people that were fighters in the UFC that have all, now you have Diego Ferreira doing jiu-jitsu. They have so much. Charles Byrd is doing the striking. You've got every single person there, it had a UFC career and has been at the highest level. Some are still in the UFC. Macy's what, four? And they're teaching there every week. And I think it's really cool for the students, because they're getting their highest level training, and then the continuing education for fighters is very, very good, right? Because they've got to be up to date and up to speed, otherwise they can't compete. So they're constantly learning the new things, and they're passing that on to the students. And I mean, I think it's unique for our gym to be so well staffed with so much experience, and I think that this is just going to add to that value.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You mentioned Macy a few times there. How is she doing after the Seattle fight fell apart? And
She's good.
yeah.
She had a little, she had a calf issue. We had to move the fight, and the other side was good with it and appreciated it. We appreciated it as well. And that was it. UFC made it happen. And I think the good thing is, and I told her, she was super bummed, but I was like, honestly, I don't know, when is Pena gonna fight? Like in the summer? I mean, it always, we, you know,
Could
I don't
maybe
know.
June, but could be
So
later.
it's her fighting then, if she can get a do well and get another fin Macy's the finisher, right? I mean, she finishes, and in that division there's not always finishes. So people want to see violence, and that girl is violent. That is what she does. I mean, her elbows, the way she, her hammer fists, the way she, her ground and pound, I mean, she goes for it. She really tries to finish. So, and I think people appreciate that. So We'll see. Hopefully all goes well, and then we get kind of an idea of where we're at. But we got to focus on Ketlin, and we can't look past her. I mean, she's there for a reason, so.
Yeah, so they're gonna stick with that fight, just a new date whenever it's all good.
Yes,
Sweet.
correct. It well, that fight's going to be it's going to be in before June.
Okay, sounds good. We'll leave it at that. It'll come out eventually, I'm sure. Nice, man. That's great. Everything's looking so good for the team. Before we just let you go here, let's talk for a few minutes about UFC London this weekend. Two pretty interesting fights on the top of the card there. Obviously, a welterweight main event. What do you just think of Leon Edwards versus Sean Brady there? I think for Leon, pretty interesting. I mean, some people said he got the short end of the stick here after like the whole welterweight division was changed up with Jack moving into the title fight. But I feel
No.
like you look at his opponents, he fought Kamaru twice, he fought Bilal, he fought Colby Covington. That feels like you've just done like five straight camps for the same type of guy that is Sean Brady.
And the thing is too, these guys only fight once a year. It's like, man, get up there and I'm not gonna get into it. But the reality is that in the UFC, you gotta be ready to jump in the damn fire. I mean, that's just how it is. And that's what this fight is. And can Sean Brady use the momentum, use the lessons from the Bilal loss, that have made him, he looked great in his last fight, Sean Brady. I mean, he just looked really good, I thought. And I thought he looked really calm and his striking was good. And we know that Bilal dominated Leon. I mean, he did. And he dominated him on the ground. He took him down over and over again. And Sean Brady's really a good grappler too. So and his striking has evolved, so will he be able to implement the same type of game plan? We'll see. Or will Leon find that form? I mean, he's the guy that beat Kamaru Usman, as you said. When he finds his rhythm and his form, he's really hard to deal with in there. And if he's off on his front foot and he's dictating and he's the one who's controlling the center of the octagon, he's doing great work. But when he's on his back foot and he's not dictating and he's the one, with his back against the octagon, it seems like where he has trouble. So I know Sean Brady's going to try to cut the octagon off and pressure him with the hands and probably get those takedowns and fight pretty similar to Bilal. But the feather here for Sean Brady's, if he can get a finish, he can say, hey, give me that shot because even though Bilal beat me, I finished Leon. Right. So that's probably what their camp is trying to really do.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very interested to see just where Leon's at. I know he wanted the rematch, like he want or the trilogy, I guess it would be with Bilal, but I don't know. Doesn't seem UFC is too keen to do that after the last fight. So just curious where he's at mentally, because he says fighting in the middle of the night contributed to a bad performance against Bilal. Everyone else on the card had to do that. I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of variables here with Leon.
I mean, again, I never speak about fighters. I
Sure.
mean, my own fighters, I will, I will still not talk negatively about them on an interview. I just
Yeah.
don't think that that's just, I mean, I would, nobody wants to be talked about negatively and hear it from somebody else, right? So,
Right.
and even though he's, I have been an analyst, I still, I mean, if you watch all the analyst work I've ever done, I try never, ever. I just try to big up both sides. And what I'll say is only Leon knows that,
Yeah.
and it goes both ways. Maybe he's super motivated, I mean, maybe he's got, maybe that old vet, maybe that old dog is in there, and maybe he's sick of it. Maybe he's pissed. Maybe sometimes the guys win the belt and they get tired of the pressure. We don't know where the motivation is. It's a fair question. Again, and two, from your side of the desk, 100%, but as long as I am actively in the sport, I think probably forever, actually, since I fought, I just got to leave that one right there. Only he knows. But it obviously is a big factor, and we will find out very, very quickly
Yeah.
in the fight.
Just a few days from now. I guess on the co-main event front, again, not trying to put like a negative spin here, but we got Jan Blachowicz versus Carlos Albert. Jan Blachowicz, 2 year layoff, major shoulder surgery, 42 years old, like a lot of question marks for a fighter coming in to something like that. I guess what would you need to see from Jan Blachowicz to, I guess, feel confident? Like he gave Pereira up until what we just saw with Magomed Ankalaev, his best fight at light heavyweight, can make a case that he won, but
Again,
that was over 2 years ago at this point, and he hasn't fought since. So you just
here's what
wonder.
you got to remember about Jan Błachowicz, is this dude was 2-4 at one point in his UFC run and would go on to become the freaking champion. Okay. And no one remembers that, like that he even did that. You know, like it's fading away. You know, Glover stays because everybody loves Glover, but Jan's just like fading away.
Gave
Dude was a
Izzy his
champ.
first loss in MMA.
Yeah, dude was a champion, and dude took Izzy down, the teammate of Carlos Ulberg, put him on his back, and beat him. And you know, Kennedy, we beat Carlos Ulberg, and I knew that as tough as he is and as good as he is, and he was getting Kennedy early, that he didn't have a lot of experience in MMA, and I knew that he would get a little squirrely, and he did, and that's exactly what happened, and that's what happened in that fight. And I don't think now he's got tons of experience on the feet, right? 100%. He's really kind of settled in, but can Jan make it dirty and take him down and hold him in those positions and get half guard and side control and beat him up? The thing is, though, with damage, I don't know if he'll be able to finish Ulberg, and Ulberg, if he can do just enough work on the feet without a finish, could definitely still win that fight just because he's very good and very fluid. So, but also, hopefully he doesn't get sloppy in those exchanges, because Jan cracks and throws in a very weird way too. So that fight's actually a lot more interesting than I think people are giving it credit for. It just depends if Jan now at 42, how he shows up after such a long layoff. But skill and experience wise, trickiness, savviness, a win over the camp already, like an understanding of how they train. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the odds are, but
Yeah, I think Blachowicz is a slight favorite. Let's see here.
that's
No,
surprising.
actually,
That,
no, he's the dog. Blachowicz is
yeah, it
right now
makes sense.
+220 and
Yeah,
Ulberg minus
that's
260.
about right.
Yeah,
That's about right. Yeah,
that's
that's that.
interesting. I mean, Ulberg, it's funny because if you talked about this fight a week and a half ago, you're saying maybe the winner gets a title shot if Alex Pereira defends his belt at UFC 313, but now the division looks
Yeah.
different. But you mentioned, Kennedy's win over Carlos. He's won 7 in a row since then. Are you
Yeah.
seeing like a vastly different guy? Is it
Oh
just a bunch
yeah.
of good
No,
matchups? Or...
I mean, he was a good kickboxer, but I knew he hadn't had a lot of MMA when we
Yeah.
fought him. And so, you know, that's we knew that. And you know, that's a 7 fights ago. So now he's got 7 fights and 7 wins in the UFC. And he's a cool, calm dude, you know, cool, calm, collected guy. And I'm sure, you know, they know what they need to stay away from. But Jan, like I said, he's crafty. Jan is very crafty. And that doesn't mean if Carlos goes out there looking super young and fast, pop pop, and Jan looks lost, we haven't seen Jan in a long time.
Yeah.
We kind of know how this is going to go down, right? But if he starts exchanging with Jan, and Jan starts doing that dip in his head and switching stances and throwing those weird hooks from different angles, he sets stuff up weird, you know. And if he can start getting some takedowns and punches out of the break, he's really good out the break. Jan sets things up out of the break really well. But Ulberg's really dangerous in the clinch too, so. I think that one, that's an interesting one, though. I think that's an interesting fight.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, Blachowicz, don't forget, he fought Magomed Ankalaev to a draw as well. So like he's done good things for a lot of
That's what I'm
time, but
saying.
yeah, I think
That's what I
suddenly
mean.
you just wake
He
up and I
beat
think
Izzy. He beat Izzy. He had a super close fight with Pereira. Okay. And he had a draw with the current champion. Now just sit back for a minute. Like, that's not, you know, that's. Like I said, his experience is there, and he's slick. He's really, it doesn't look pretty, but it's very crafty. So I think it just kind of depends on, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of goes to what we said offline when we talked about doing the sport moves so damn fast. You wake up one day and
Yeah.
Jan Blachowicz, I think, is the oldest guy in the light heavyweight division now, all of a
Yeah.
sudden.
Yeah.
It's
And he
just
was
like,
just a champ, like, you know, like
yeah,
that was like a few years ago for sure.
I mean, that's the case for everyone, right? It just moves so quick. Like we said off the top, you'll be thinking ahead to 150 and 200 and everything now, but
Don't get crazy now,
it's
Mike.
time to
Don't get
start.
crazy.
Yeah, well, you got to smell the roses when you can, right? Because it doesn't come along that often. So I'm glad we were able to kind of celebrate and talk through a little bit
Thank
of
you.
things here, man. So I really appreciate your
Thanks.
time, and obviously, yeah, about to make your way off to Mexico City. Anything you want to say before you bounce off? Any people you want to recognize as we hit this big accomplishment? Anything like that before you bounce?
Oh, I just gotta. You know, I got to thank everybody at the gym that has been a part of this journey since day one. So many members, man. Like, that support, even people that don't still come to the gym, they always pay their dues, and I know they're watching, and they support the gym, right? And that this dream that we had to build this team, kind of from scratch, and to see it now, hit this milestone of 100 wins is just kind of crazy, right? I mean, it's surreal in some ways, because it's like we did it. We solidified this dream, and I feel like that's kind of what that 100 wins shows. It's a consistency at the highest level. When the sport has continued to get harder and harder and harder, it is so hard to win, now than even pre-COVID. And again, before the contender, you could go on and on just how much more competitive it is. So I'm just really proud of everybody, and also my parents, for supporting me, and my family, my wife and my kids. I'm gone so much, man. I mean, it really is, their life's trade-offs. So for those 100 wins, that's 100, times that I wasn't here at home to watch my own kids. So I mean, it's an accomplishment that so many people were a part of and supported, and I really appreciate everybody and all the messages and all the love. And it was a really cool weekend.
Love to hear it, man. Well, Dallas needs a winner because those Mavericks aren't necessarily doing too much for you guys not to go there.
Just
But I appreciate
terrible.
your time as always, man. Congratulations on this milestone, and looking forward
Thank
to
you.
having you back on here
Thanks.
again in the future. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll be right back to wrap things up. And that does it for another edition of the Bonfire Podcast. Thank you so much to Saif for his time and coming here to recap 100 UFC wins. What an achievement, and give some great insight on many different topics there. We covered a lot of ground, but it is always great to talk to Saif on the show. Hopefully someone that is here many, many times in the years to come, because honestly, his knowledge of the sport and the ins and outs is second to none. So always appreciate that insight. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation. And enjoy UFC London this weekend. Until next week, I will see you all back here by the Bonfire.